New rules from the Environmental Protection Agency change what bodies of water are federally protected, but an upcoming Supreme Court decision could change that again. That's one of the things you need to know to start your day for Wednesday, February 1st. I'm Colin Shope, and this is WCBU's On Deck.
Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from Palomar Wealth, providing financial planning and advice for Central Illinois. Introducing Navigating Your Financial Journey, a podcast exploring the concepts of financial wellness with the Palomar Wealth team. Now available on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon. More information at palomarwealth.com.
First on deck today, Central Illinois County clerks and recorders say their communities aren't getting their fair share from the money collected through an obscure rental housing support program fee. WCBU's Tim Shelley reports.
A bill passed in the General Assembly's lame duck session doubles the fee assessed by county recorders on documents from $9 to $18. Central Illinois County clerks say they'd like to see more of those funds come back to their communities. Currently, the Illinois Housing Development Authority distributes nearly 70% of the money to Chicago and Cook County. Tazewell County Clerk and Recorder John Ackerman says his office has collected more than $1.5 million for the state program since the fee collection began in 2005.
It adds up after a while. It's quite a heavy investment that we're making to get nothing in return.
Knox County Clerk and Recorder Scott Erickson says he's had a similar experience.
We received no funds back to the county. It's a definite need. We're seeing more homeless situations coming around that we haven't seen in years.
The Illinois Housing Development Authority didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. A new state task force is being formed to make recommendations for changes. I'm Tim Shelley.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WCBU newsroom. The four Peoria police officers involved in the fatal October shooting of Samuel Richmond are working in non-public facing administrative roles of the department, while the investigation's current status remains unclear. And Caterpillar is touting strong fourth quarter and full year results for 2022, with the company's CEO calling it one of the best years in the manufacturing company's history. Plus, Illinois State University is studying data on whether wearable tracking devices could reduce workplace injuries. Find more of these stories and all the details at WCBU.org. The Environmental Protection Agency recently released new rules regarding the waters of the United States that decides which bodies of water fall under federal protection. But a case the U.S. Supreme Court is expected to rule on soon throws those rules into question. Harvest Public Media and the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk's Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco reports on what the Sackett versus EPA case may mean for wetlands in the Midwest and beyond.
Doug Blodgett is walking up the remnants of the old levee at the Nature Conservancy's Emequon Preserve in central Illinois. 20 years ago, before the Conservancy took over the nearly 7,000 acres, it was corn and soybean fields. The restoration reconnected the floodplains to the Illinois River, and Blodgett recalls the day he realized the migratory birds were back in a big way.
There were, 100,000 snow geese out here, and they all got up at once, and it was about this time of the morning, and the sun just disappeared. You could not see a ray of sunlight shining through those.
According to the Nature Conservancy, Emequon is among the largest floodplain restorations anywhere in the Midwest. Millions of migratory birds pass through the wetlands every year, not to mention the countless number of native plants and fish species that call the flourishing refuge home. But Blodgett says many wetlands aren't so lucky. Illinois has lost nearly 90% of its original wetlands. The majority of Midwestern states, about 50%.
Yeah, we don't have enough now, and so we can't afford to lose more.
But protections for wetlands are up in the air. Last fall, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments for the Sackett versus EPA case, a 14-year legal battle launched from the backyard of an Idaho couple, the Sacketts, seeking to fill their lake-adjacent property with gravel. The EPA stopped them. The case, which has been to the Supreme Court twice now, challenges the federal protections. The Clean Water Act provides to some waters and wetlands under the definition of waters of the United States. Mark Davis directs the Tulane Institute on Water Resources Law and Policy in New Orleans. He calls the Sackett case just the latest in a long line of challenges to the Clean Water Act. At stake is the federal government's jurisdiction over the nation's most valuable natural resource. Water.
It will mean that there are many, you know, important waters and wetlands that are no longer protected by law at all.
Davis says larger wetlands, such as Emequon, will be fine. But it's the smaller, more isolated wetlands and streams that are on the line. They're critical to the overall wetland system, which supports all kinds of wildlife. Although wetlands cover just 6% of the Earth's land surface, it's estimated that 40% of all species rely on them. Davis likes to call them nature's sponge.
They hold water, they slow water, and, you know, they do it naturally while providing any number of other benefits, and they don't normally charge you a penny for it.
If the court rules in favor of the Sacketts and limits federal agencies' jurisdiction to regulate some of the nation's wetlands, experts say it would leave states to do that work, and that would create a patchwork of protections. Misa Khan with the Mississippi River Network says wetlands don't follow state lines, and the Mississippi River Basin covers over a million square miles and 31 states.
Relying on different states to make up different rules ignores how what happens in one part of the Mississippi River has impacts on another.
A Tulane study found that 24 states rely on the Clean Water Act to regulate wetlands in their states. That means that they would have limited wetland regulations if the Supreme Court narrows the scope of the Clean Water Act. Yet, at Emequon, life will go on. Doug Blodgett says scientists have documented about 93% of Illinois' threatened and endangered bird species associated with wetlands at the preserve. And he thinks it could be more.
And I'm pretty sure the other 6 or 7% are out there. We just haven't had the right person at the right place at the right time to see them.
The court is expected to return a decision on the Sackett case sometime early this year. For now, the future for many of the country's wetlands, especially those seemingly isolated from navigable rivers or streams, remains uncertain. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Juan Pablo Ramirez Franco.
That story was a collaboration between Harvest Public Media and the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk. Before we let you go, it's Bradley basketball night in Peoria as the Braves face Southern Illinois at the Peoria Civic Center. Stark County residents get discounted tickets tonight in the red and white sections. And that's it for today. The show was produced by Holden Kellogg. You can subscribe to WCBU's On Deck podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or NPR One.